Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Dix. In the early 2000s, engineers at MIT's Media Lab ran an experiment to see how little power a wireless sensor could survive on. They scattered a bunch of small, coin-sized sensor nodes across a field, each one of them powered not by batteries, but by ambient radio waves from a nearby TV tower. Amazingly, the nodes worked. Well, kind of. They flickered to life, transmitted a few bits of telemetry, and then went dark again. The system was fragile, unreliable, and subject to uncontrollable fading, but it proved something important: that it was possible to extract usable energy from the RF environment itself. That experiment predated the formalization of SWIPT, the Simultaneous Wireless Information and Power Transfer Scheme, by nearly a decade, but the principle is the same. RF, that's radio frequency energy, is everywhere. And under the right constraints, you can harvest it to power communication. The hard part isn't whether it works. The hard part is making it work reliably, especially when your devices are simultaneously trying to decode data, manage interference, and meet latency targets. If you're working in a low-power wireless system, the simplest solution is to simply increase transmit power. More power gives you more signal strength, more coverage, and more margin against noise. But in certain configurations, turning up the power can actually make things worse, not better. Today's paper is an analysis of one such case. On this episode, we're going to walk through the argument the authors made, then double back and look at each of the components of their experimental setup in more detail. This is a complex paper that straddles electrical engineering, wireless communications, and energy systems, so buckle up. The setup involves two full duplex wireless nodes exchanging short packets. Each node has a pair of antennas, one for transmitting and one for receiving, which allows both directions of communication to occur simultaneously on the same frequency band. One of the nodes is plugged in and has a stable power supply. The other has no battery. It relies entirely on energy harvesting from the incoming RF signal to power its transmitter. The receiving node splits the incoming signal using a power splitting protocol. Some portion of the signal is used for decoding data. The rest is routed to an energy harvesting circuit that captures the power necessary to operate the device. But unlike many simplified models, the circuit is not linear. It does not start harvesting until the input signal crosses a sensitivity threshold, and once the signal reaches a saturation point, additional input energy has no effect. These non-linearities introduce boundaries into the system, boundaries that cannot be worked around by increasing transmit power. At the same time, both nodes suffer from self-interference. Because each node is transmitting and receiving simultaneously on the same frequency, part of the transmitted signal leaks back into its own receiver chain. The self-interference scales directly with transmit power and limits the usable signal-to-noise SNR ratio. So when one node increases its transmit power, it may improve energy availability for the other node, but it also increases interference at its own receiver. Beyond a certain point, the interference gain outweighs the energy gain. Finally, this is all happening in the context of, as I mentioned earlier, short packet communication. Each message fits within a finite block length, often on the order of a few hundred symbols or less. That places it firmly outside the classical regime of Shannon capacity. In short block length regimes, increasing signal power does not guarantee vanishing error rates. Instead, reliability saturates early, and any unmodeled distortion or interference can quickly dominate. This is where the core problem arises. The system behaves non-monotonically. Increasing transmit power does not produce a linear improvement in reliability or throughput. The interplay between nonlinear energy harvesting, full duplex self-interference, and finite block length transmission creates a narrow operating window. In this paper, the authors demonstrate that within this window, it is possible for additional power to reduce overall system performance. That is the central technical claim. The rest of the work is concerned with formalizing it, modeling the constraints, deriving closed form expressions for error rates, and identifying the optimal operating point. But the insight is clear up front. In this class of systems, power is not a free parameter. It is a constraint, and one that needs to be tuned carefully. If you're feeling lost right now, don't worry. As I mentioned, we're about to double back to some of the trickier concepts and give them a more thorough examination. The paper's conceptual model combines three technologies that are each challenging on their own: full duplex radios, short packet communication, and SWIPT. Let's start with full duplex. Each node in the system has two antennas, one for transmitting and one for receiving, that allows both nodes to transmit and receive concurrently on the same frequency channel. The upside is clear: higher spectral efficiency and reduced latency. The downside is equally familiar: self-interference. In this model, the self-interference channels are represented using Rayleigh fading with independent coefficients. These terms matter because as transmit power increases, so does the interference, and in full duplex systems, that interference is not negligible. It dominates over the background noise. Now add short packet communication. Instead of assuming large code words and asymptotic error-free performance, the system transmits short blocks of data, typically around 200 symbols per packet. That means Shannon capacity, the theoretical maximum rate achievable only when block length goes to infinity, no longer applies. Instead, the authors use a finite block length regime, where decoding error probabilities are bounded away from zero and must be computed explicitly. In this formulation, the block error rate is a function of SNR, the signal-to-noise ratio, block length, and coding rate, and it depends on a Q function, a tail probability function that describes the likelihood of decoding errors based on signal-to-noise ratio that cannot be integrated analytically in closed form. The paper uses a piecewise linear approximation of the Q function to derive tractable expressions. In other words, they trade exactness for a simplified form that's good enough to model system behavior without needing numerical integration. On top of all that, the system includes SWIPT. User A has a stable power source, user B does not. Instead, B harvests energy from A's RF transmission using a power splitting circuit. When a signal is received, B splits it into two paths, one for decoding and one for charging. The key design parameter here is the power splitting ratio, which in the PDF is represented by the Greek letter rho, which looks like a small p. That ratio defines how much of the received power goes to energy harvesting versus information decoding. The harvested power then determines whether B can transmit anything at all. The twist is that the harvesting circuit is modeled as non-linear. It has a sensitivity threshold, Pmin, below which no energy is harvested, and a saturation threshold, Pmax, beyond which extra power does not increase the output. With these components in place, the interaction effects begin to stack. Higher transmit power from A improves the energy available to B, which lets B transmit at higher power in the uplink, but it also increases self-interference at A, which degrades the downlink. Meanwhile, the saturation behavior of the harvester at B means that above a certain point, extra transmit power from A gives no additional benefit to B, yet it still harms A's ability to decode. The result is a trade-off. Maximizing individual link quality does not lead to optimal system performance. To make this model mathematically analyzable, the authors define the receive signal and SNR expressions for both links and derive the corresponding BLERs, the block error rates, which represent the probability that an entire packet of data is incorrectly decoded. These expressions vary depending on whether the uplink and downlink channels are assumed to be independent, the upper bound scenario, or identical, the lower bound scenario. These two cases bracket the range of realistic channel conditions. From this starting point, the paper moves into closed-form derivations for BLER under each condition, along with an analysis of effective throughput. I'll spare you the equations and formalized constructions, but it's all in the PDF if you want to walk through it. Once the system is formalized, the core analysis centers back on BLER, not for a single link, but for the joint system. Two users exchanging data over two links in both directions, each affected differently by the same transmit power. The question becomes, what happens to overall reliability as the transmit power of user A increases? At first, the results are intuitive. Boosting A's transmit power helps B harvest more energy. More harvested energy means B can transmit with greater power, which improves the uplink. At the same time, stronger signals from A improve the downlink SNR at B, so both links get better and block error rate drops, but only up to a point. The paper's key finding is that this curve is not monotonic. meaning increasing transmit power doesn't always improve performance. Once transmit power from A reaches the saturation level of B's energy harvesting circuit, additional power no longer increases B's transmit power. Meanwhile, the self-interference at A continues to increase, degrading the downlink SNR. Past a certain point, higher power yields no improvement to B and active harm to A. The result is a U-shaped curve. Overall block error rate decreases, hits a minimum, then climbs up again as transmit power continues to rise. This minimum is the optimal transmit power for user A. The paper doesn't offer a closed-form solution for it, but the simulations clearly identify its existence and show its sensitivity to system parameters. The position of the optimum varies with the self-interference channel gain at A, the energy harvesting efficiency, and the channel fading statistics. This is not just a theoretical observation. It directly impacts system design. In a typical deployment, it is tempting to set transmit power as high as regulatory limits allow, under the assumption that more energy improves reliability. This paper shows that in these particular types of systems, that assumption is wrong. There is a local maximum for reliability, and it happens below saturation. Beyond that point, additional power hurts. The broader implication is this. Systems that integrate full duplex nonlinear harvesting and finite block length coding require joint optimization. Independent optimization of PHY parameters, max scheduling, and power budgets will not converge to a global optimum. If your design targets mission-critical or latency-sensitive applications, you cannot assume monotonicity in any direction. You have to characterize the joint space explicitly. This paper offers a template for how to do that. Engineers working with wireless systems are used to reasoning in terms of power, noise, and rate. You boost transmit power to get a cleaner signal, you increase block length to reduce probability of error, you manage interference through filtering, coding, or scheduling. That mental model works well when your components behave linearly and your assumptions align with asymptotic information theory. But once non-linear effects enter the equation, especially from the hardware itself, those instincts can become misleading. The PDF works through the math behind the system and shows exactly where more power starts to hurt instead of help. If you're working on wireless systems where reliability, latency, and power efficiency all matter at once, it's worth downloading it and walking through the numbers yourself. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.